Thank you, Bill. Thank you for your narrative of our budget. We're going to turn now to the rector's address. As soon as I can convince my computer to cooperate with me. Here we go. So many of us know John Wesley was the great Anglican evangelist and organizer during the revival movement in England in the 1700s that would become known as the Great Awakening. Many even secular historians credit that movement with saving England from the bloodbath that became France in the 1790s, but that's another story. Go there another time. In his journal on January 1st, 1789, Wesley wrote these words, "If this is to be the last year of my life, according to some of these prophecies, I hope it will be the best." Spoiler alert, 1789 was in fact not the last year of Wesley's life, so the so-called prophecies were wrong. And now that 2023 is in the rearview mirror, it's safe to say that 2023 was also not the last year of my life. Nonetheless, Wesley's saying seems to me to be a fitting summary of my own experience and impression of 2023. 2023 will likely have been the last full year of my leadership at Church of the Savior. It has certainly been the best. If you hear nothing else from this address, as well as from what's gone before, I hope you will hear not only why I can say that 2023 has been the best year of my time at Church of the Savior, but why I have such high expectancy for God's preferred future for Church of the Savior. So to begin with, where we've been in the past year. This morning, I am overflowing with thankfulness to God. I've spent a lot of time putting this report together the last month, and I confess, even after hearing what Bill and Sarah and Jason have shared, I'm still amazed at what the Lord has done here in 2023. In this time frame, I can really only summarize the highlights. Most of them are addressed at greater length in your written report, and I do encourage you later to read it thoroughly. Read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest it, as we say. As always, and especially this year, there is so much there that we can celebrate, and I want us to celebrate together. So, we've already seen this at the conclusion of our annual meeting last year on February 12th, so it's still within the past 365 days. We celebrated by burning the mortgage on our building. I cannot overstate how important this was for us. After over 20 years, on a note that was originally supposed to have been paid off in 7 or 8, several refinances, a couple of seasons of interest-only payments, we were able to pay the remaining principal balance in early January of 2023. Relief from the need to pay mortgage, and now, as you've heard, even rent, goes a long way to helping Church of the Savior transition to the financial maturity that you're going to need in order to be responsible in providing for your next pastor full-time without outside support. For Church of the Savior to become financially self-supporting has been a primary goal throughout my time here, and we are really, really close to being able to do that. Since I started by addressing the circumstances of our building, I'll continue with that theme. As you heard from Sarah a couple of minutes ago, in 2017, the vestry determined that we needed to raise funds to repair critical building infrastructure, especially the roof and the external masonry. My recollection of that, by the way, is a little different from Sarah's. My recollection is that at the time, the senior warden and the junior warden had to sit the rector down and say, we need to do this. And the rector rather grudgingly said, okay, I guess we have to. I want to say a word of particular thanks here to Sarah. Over many years now, the effort in beginning in 2017 was not the first time, and I don't think it was the second either. Sarah has graciously given us her time and her expertise on raising support for big projects. And I have to say, often at times when she may have been the only one who believed that these things could happen. And as you just heard, we're very close now to seeing that vision become reality. There is only really the one major restoration project to go, and the need to raise another perhaps $15,000-$20,000 to complete it. Next to the nearly $450,000 that has already been raised in this campaign, or even the $96,000 that came in 2023, that's not very much. God willing, by this spring, we'll have addressed the need and achieved the goal that we articulated early on of leaving for my successor a building free of major maintenance needs for the next generation. And I want to stop for just a second, because I want us to hear that this is really not about money. Okay? This is not about money. This is about God and his faithfulness to provide for the needs of his people. And even as I say it, I'm not sure I can truly comprehend the reality. Bill and Sarah have both said in their own way, and I echo their comments, that for a community of our size and our relative lack of resources, frankly, this is an outcome that is nothing short of miraculous. And I want us to stop for just a second and give God the praise and the glory that he deserves for his provision, understanding that the goal of this is not, well, we'll get there. It's not a building. So, Lord, we're just thankful for your provision. We're grateful that you have indeed, literally, in many ways, opened the floodgates of heaven to provide for the needs of this congregation in so many ways, as we've heard today. And you deserve the honor and the credit and to be glorified by people who will praise and glorify you in this place. So very early in 2006, perhaps a month or two after my arrival, a couple of our vestry members and I were conducting a walkthrough of this space. It looked, shall we say, just a little bit different from how it looks now. We knew that God wanted Church of the Savior to be worshiping in this room, and we were considering what it might take to achieve that outcome. But what I remember vividly from that conversation is the comment of one of the guys, "We don't want a cathedral." He didn't mean that the space should look shabby or incomplete, certainly not that it should continue to look like it looks in that picture. And even after we began worshiping in this space, those who have been here know, it took a long time to get it looking like a place people care about and value enough to make it both an appropriate venue for worship and a safe, welcoming space for people in Ambridge to come and meet Jesus. The building's important. It's a resource that God has entrusted to us. And he's clearly honored our efforts to preserve it and make it an attractive venue for encountering him in worship. But that comment from so many years ago continues to be important for us today. The building is not primary. We are not here for the building. Rather, the building is here for us, and perhaps especially for those who are not yet here. With that in mind, let's move on and look at some of the other things God has been doing at Church of the Savior during 2023. Again, last January, 7 or 8 COTS leaders attended a seminar on church revitalization conducted by Ken and Mark Eldridge at Trinity School for Ministry. During the pandemic and its aftermath, we lost a lot of vital ministries. The Economy Crestview Village Church, our entire children's ministry program, almost all our outreaches. The purpose of the revitalization seminar was precisely to help churches and their leaders begin to think through how to restore both outreach and, perhaps even more importantly, the sustaining community life on which healthy and effective outreach must be grounded. In response, we focused the presentation during last year's Lenten program on the five elements that Canon Mark identified as vital for church revitalization: worship, discipleship, community, evangelism, and ministry. Then at the end of August, 15 COTS leaders participated in a weekend retreat in which we brainstormed specific ways that moving forward, renewed ministry and growth might be enabled here. And here I want especially to thank Pastor Myron and acknowledge my tremendous debt to him for his help both in organizing and presenting our Lenten program and last summer's retreat, as well as for the considerable gifts he brings in encouraging and facilitating discipleship to Jesus. The gifts in ministry that Pastor Myron brings have been, and I trust will continue to be, an absolutely vital part of the renewal that God is working at Church of the Savior. And I'm so grateful for his willingness to share those gifts with us. As we take a look at the ways that God has moved for revitalization of the life of Church of the Savior, our resort to a device with which many of us will be familiar, the triangle, up, in, and out. These refer to three ways that we experience relationship with God and with one another, to our life and ministry together. Up being about worship, in being about our community life, and out being about outreach, evangelism, and mission. And I'll start with where we should start, the up. This is going to be a very selective description because we've long been committed to excellence in worship, to hearing the word read and proclaimed, offering God our praises, allowing silence for the Holy Spirit to speak to us corporately, and praying with expectancy. I won't come close to saying everything that might be said about our worship life in 2023, but I'll hit some highlights. I enjoyed the opportunity to preach through the books of Colossians, Philemon, and Jonah in 2023. I also valued the contributions of Pastor Myron, Tony Hermankovich, and Stephen and Abby Crawford in the pulpit, and the brief opportunity that we had to engage in sermon critiques together before the Lord called three quarters of the other four to other venues at the end of the year. Then there was Bishop Alec giving us the secret word of expectation during his pastoral visit to us in October, with the challenge to us to treat the God we worship as a real God who actually likes intervening in our day-to-day and is well able to do that in ways that surprise and delight us, some of which we've heard about this morning, as well as often challenge us to become more for him and his kingdom than we thought we could be. I'm especially grateful for the new musicians and music team leaders the Lord has raised up for us. As much as I personally love to serve on music teams, I love it even more when our worship music is led by COTS members whom God has clearly gifted and called to that ministry. I'm delighted that in 2024 and beyond, I'm simply not needed there. I'm so grateful for the leadership and music ministry of Mark and Sarah Qualick and Marianne Manisterski and Anna Gilbert, Carla Hill, and now James and Talia Hensley. And I've ceased to be amazed because I've come to take it for granted how our teams work so seamlessly together and how well they listen to the Holy Spirit as they lead our praises. I can't tell you the number of times that I have looked at the selections in a music set in advance and gone, what on earth are they thinking? And then had the words actually preview things I wrote in my sermon. I've given up being amazed because God just does it so routinely here. And that's a tremendous gift that I hope we won't take for granted. I have to mention in this area as well our intercessory prayer team. A couple of years ago, I asked our senior warden, Sharon, to convene a group to pray before worship for Church of the Savior and our needs, and we agreed that one Sunday a month was probably a realistic ask. Now, every Sunday at 9 a.m., there are intercessors praying in the living room for our worship and our other needs. You might want to check it out. I'm just saying. That brings me to the out point on the base of the triangle. The revitalization seminar, the Lenten program, the weekend retreat all pointed us to the need for renewed outreach from Church of the Savior, and that's really not surprising. It's been our lifeblood from our very beginning, and it's really the lifeblood of any healthy congregation. So the first item on the to-do list that came out of the August retreat was to participate in the Ambridge Festival of Churches at the end of the following month. Other leaders and I had been praying for an opening for outreach in the rapidly growing Hispanic community in Beaver County, given the significant number of COTS members who speak Spanish either as native or fluent speakers. It turned out that a feature of the Festival of Churches is for each participating church to be paired with a local food establishment. I knew that the Monroy supermarket had recently opened across the street, and I learned that they were not otherwise involved, so we invited them to partner with us, and they did. At the same time, our intercessors had also been praying about opportunities for involvement in an English as a second language program. We had a great time at the Festival of Churches, but we didn't meet any non-English speakers there. We continued to pray. And as Deacon Laura told you last month, just after the first of this year, we were approached by a representative of Casa San Jose, a local ministry that offers ESL training. And the short outcome is that we are now hosting ESL classes twice a week with the standing invitation for Church of the Savior's members to become teachers. And our help is not just a nice extra, but it's needed. The classes have already outgrown the space on the main floor where they intended to meet and have had to move to the basement to accommodate all the students who are coming. And there's a waiting list for more students. We've been praying for this opportunity. Friends, God has answered our prayers. He's also called the question for you and for me. And a major question in 2024 will be, in what further ways are we called to respond? At the same time, Deacon Laura has continued leading the Wednesday evening video Bible study group at the Maplewood Personal Care Home. We thank God for Abby Crawford and her involvement in that ministry before their relocation. Deacon Laura is now praying for someone to come alongside her to assist. And speaking of Abby, in 2023, we also had the privilege of sending her and Stephen and their family out to their next place in ministry. And in early 2024, blessing Tony Hermankovich as he moves into his diaconal year of service in three other parishes in the diocese. These transitions are always bittersweet for us. They're also part of the DNA of Church of the Savior and part of God's calling. We are called, friends, to be a sending community. Simply what we do. Lastly, I come to the in. And as I do, I want to point out a dynamic that is not necessarily easy to see, but it may well be the most significant feature in the great sense of expectancy that I have for Church of the Savior as we leave 2023 in the rearview mirror and move into 2024. Rewind the tape back to 2008. One day, it was around the time we realigned from the Episcopal Church into what would eventually become the Anglican Church in North America, I was sitting in a meeting room with perhaps 12 to 15 other clergy discussing ways we might help our parishes become more missional. We each had about 30 seconds to introduce ourselves and our parishes to the facilitator, who was a visiting expert. We had been talking about this triangle that you see on the screen, and I said, we're a church in a relatively distressed socioeconomic area, and we have a number of seminarians and leaders who are from other nonprofit ministries. A leader didn't even let me finish. He said, yep, you're up and out. In is your weakness. What he meant was this. Church of the Savior was founded as an outreach to children and families in the very broken context of immediate post-steel mill Ambridge in the early 1980s. The urgency of worship was never far from the minds of those of us who planted the church. How else could we even hope to minister effectively to broken people God was bringing us unless our ministry was grounded in the worship of the living God? But as a result, perhaps, of this emphasis on concern for those not yet part of the body, we tended, at least in relative terms, to neglect our relationships with one another. There's a proverb in French, plus ça change, plus c'est la même chose, which translated means the more things change, the more they stay the same. When I returned here in 2006, this was still our issue. Every church health survey we have done since has flagged growth in fellowship and in relationship with one another as our greatest need. And that may still be the case. But the thing about 2023 that most energizes me with expectancy for God's preferred future for Church of the Savior is not the improvements to our building, not even the new opportunities for outreach and mission that the Lord is clearly opening for us, but the way that the Spirit of God has been about renewing, restoring, and rebuilding relationships and networks within our body among us. I think there should be another slide, isn't there? Let me see. What's the next one? There we go. Yeah. To begin with, it was a small step. But after nearly 3 years of pandemic mode, it was vital. We actually met together again. The Lenten program was our first time as a congregation of the whole, other than Sunday mornings, since the beginning of the pandemic. When we gathered leaders for the revitalization retreat in August, I would have been overjoyed if we had simply spent time together and done no more. We did much more. In less than 6 months since that time, we've welcomed several new families. We've begun creative new work with teens and with men. Our small group fellowships, Pastor Myron Manisterski's Journey Group, the ongoing Rogers K Group, the Women's Group, and the Christufek Avenue Irregulars, so-called, have continued to meet. Our deacons and lay visitors have continued the excellent care the Church of the Savior has historically given to members who are older or sick or for other reasons unable to attend public worship. We still have needs. We have not yet arrived. Izzy in that picture looks pretty lonely to me. She looks to me like she could use some company. And I don't mean other children. I mean adults. We do need workers for our nursery who can serve the children there. I'd like, ideally, for us to be able to ask adult workers to serve no more than perhaps once every 5 or 6 weeks. Currently, we're slightly more than once a month, and we're asking a lot out of our volunteers to miss that much worship. We also could use help with our audiovisual and sound and projection teams. If you're interested in being trained for either of those options, you could talk with Hannah. I'm sure she would be delighted to accommodate you. I'll give you a little hint. If you don't talk with Hannah, it's possible she might come and talk with you. I'm just saying. Together with Deacon Laura Pastor Myron and Mary Ann and Hannah, I've been meeting about twice a month as a staff. The first time we've had anything like that, probably in 15 years. And we're not just working together, but we're actually enjoying being with one another. At least I'm enjoying being with them. Now, as of the first of the year, Hannah has graciously offered to serve as parish administrator. And I have to mention in the same breath, Jason has been giving up a day of work a week to care for their children so that Hannah is free to serve. I'm also grateful for Anna's continuing and faithful service as bookkeeper. I've already mentioned my thanks to our vestry for their leadership as well. So where might we go in 2024? The ESL class is an indicator. It's bursting at the seams. There are 20 to 30 students in the building twice a week. Spanish Bible study, maybe even a Spanish worship service. I can't leave the topic of outreach without also mentioning that we have an almost completely unreached people group meeting three times a week in our basement in the NA meetings that meet there. What might we do with outreach with them? In our parish profile, and I would commend you to read it, it's posted on our website, we talk about the need for a leader who is gifted in evangelism and outreach, especially with children and youth. But part of the responsibility of that leader is also going to be to equip us for our part. Many of us are acquainted with my colleague David Wilson, who was raised up for ordination from Church of the Savior a few decades ago. David retired as rector of Christ the Redeemer Parish in the South Hills in 2017. And in the season when he was preparing for that transition, he said that he knew it was time for him to leave because the parish was in a healthy place. As we approach the transition in leadership at Church of the Savior, I can say the same thing. There's an emerging and a strong sense among us that more and more leaders and people alike of Church of the Savior are working together as teams, pursuing a common purpose. I'm convinced that 2023 has been not only a year of renewal and expectancy, but actually the healthiest time of my entire tenure as rector. And at that, I rejoice. And I say this with gratitude to God, because I know it didn't have to be this way. I started this address with gratitude, and I end it the same way. Church of the Savior has been part of Andrea's and my life for most of our adult years. Leaving is not going to be easy for us. And I understand in many ways it won't be easy for you all either. But we know the time is right precisely because this community is in such good health overall, with such encouraging indicators for God's preferred future here. Not only am I abundantly thankful for what God has done in 2023, but I have tremendous joy and expectancy at what he's going to do here, not just in 2024, but in years to come, as together in word and deed, you continue to love and serve our neighbors in Ambridge and to the ends of the earth in the mission of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have great confidence with St. Paul that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion in the day of Jesus Christ. May it be truly so. May God get the glory, and the people of Church of the Savior reap the blessing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for great things he has done. With his power he has saved me. With his love he has raised us. To God be the glory for great things he has done. Well, the agenda says that there's an opportunity for congregational response or questions. So if there aren't, Michael. To adjourn. Yes, I think that's a good motion. I didn't quite get there, but yes. Is there a second? All right, all those in favor that we adjourn the meeting? Opposed. Thank you. We'll continue now. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Greet one another in the name of the Lord.